today as we come to the table.
We know there's the demonic realm. They're still very active. They were active in Jesus' day. He spoke to them. They answered, and they're still active today. But there was a certain group that God locked up early because they did something so bad. And notice it says, he did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to Tartarus and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Okay, you can flip back to Revelation. I wanted you to see that yourself. You can investigate that later. But the bottom line is, there's a group of the demons that did something so bad out of that third that fell. There's a portion of them that did something so bad, the Bible says God locked them up early. He says, you guys have crossed the line. You're locked up early.
Sometimes a small group of people can ruin things for everyone. For example, a small group of teenagers could constantly cause trouble in a shopping center, and as a result, no one under 18 is allowed in alone. Sometimes people behave so badly they're not allowed to participate in activities with others. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark explains how some demons were so terrible that God had them locked up much earlier than the rest. Of all the demons, this small group was held in a special cell until the time when mankind is judged. Can you imagine how bad a demon would have to be in order to be considered so bad they had a special cell? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 17 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Now we start up in verse 7 with that background. It says, but the angel said to me, why do you marvel? Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and the 10 horns. Now the beast has the 7 heads and the 10 horns. Now this is interesting because the angel says, hey, don't worry, I'll tell you the mystery. But when you read this, you're not going to have any more of a clue than you did before you read it. All right? Certainly John probably understood it more because he was in the Spirit. And I do believe I can bring some clarity. I hope to. And give you at least some other scripture and some insight. I don't claim to have the exact lineup of this. I know there's some different viewpoints, but I'll share with you where I'm coming from on this based on other scriptures that we'll look at in a moment. But he goes on and says, the beast that you saw, note this, was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and then go to perdition. So whoever this beast is, he says, existed, was, is not, that means he won't exist, he'll be removed somehow, then he'll come back, and then after he comes back to do what he's going to do, he'll be eternally judged by God, which is into perdition forever. So it's very interesting wording here. Sounds like a death or a disappearance and a returning, and I believe that's what it is. He says, and those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life, from the foundation of the world. In other words, we won't marvel because we'll understand it. Of course, we'll be in heaven by then. And those that are saved will not marvel. They'll be expecting this, at least those who understand enough of the word at that point. But it says, they will marvel whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. So is everything cleared up? Don't worry, I'll give you a little bit more on this in a minute. I want to keep looking at this so you have a better picture. He says, here is the mind which has wisdom. So I'm going to give you some further hints and understanding of this. The 7 heads, again, he's talking about the beast. The beast has the 7 heads and all that. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. Now let's stop right there. Historically, the 7 mountains or 7 hills is what we know of as the city of Rome. It's called the city on 7 mountains or the city on 7 hills. It's been that way since Rome's existed. It's been known as the city of 7 hills or the city of 7 mountains. So I believe we're seeing Rome here again as we talk about the revived Roman Empire. It's interesting. I was looking at a kind of a map of Rome today, and looking at the different mountains, and there they are, all within the border of Rome, these seven hills, these seven mountains that are there. And so he says, he reveals, and again, why would, for those of you that maybe you weren't with us the whole time, why is the Spirit giving him this so cryptically, so to speak? Because remember, he's writing this to the church, and it's got to get past the Roman guards. And if the Roman guards suspect that it's something promoting Christianity, they would simply destroy the letter. It would have never gotten through to the seven churches. So as he writes this, he's using imagery that the church would have known. And the church knew that it was a city on seven hills. Again, the guards would have known that this was probably speaking of Rome, but they wouldn't have understood anything else. So they would think this guy's just crazy. And obviously God had him let it get through. But he says, the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. So we see Rome and this religious system seated on Rome. Now, again, that's one of the reasons I strongly believe it's speaking here of the Roman Catholic Church and the papacy as its leader. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is. The other has not yet come. And when he comes, he will continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seven and is going to perdition. Again, it clears it right up. Now, it gets complicated, but when you take the imagery that he's giving in the language and you hold it all together, it begins to make sense. Now, let me say a couple things before I even finish this. Kings and princes are also referred to as the demonic realm. We think of kings as being just, you know, kings on the earth, or princes just being princes on the earth. But the scripture talks about an echelon of rulers in the dark realm. As a matter of fact, in Daniel chapters 10 and 11, for sure 11, I think 10 in there, it talks about the prince of Persia. And you know, when the angel's coming to speak to Gabriel's trying to come and speak to, Daniel and bring, or the angel that's coming to speak into Daniel about his prayer and what he's been doing. And it says the prince of Persia held him back for 21 days, or the prince of Greece, one of those princes anyway. And he had to get through these two princes to get there. And it says Michael, the archangel, came and helped him get through. And again, Michael's always the muscle guy. Whenever there's a problem, Michael comes and, you know, he's got the extra points on the video game. You know, he's got these boop, 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 boom, blows his way through or whatever. And so Michael gets through there. So we see that the scripture refers even to those that are ranking in the demonic realm as princes. Well, if there's a prince, there's a king. So we have this echelon in the demonic realm as well. And I believe here, he's not speaking of literal kings, although there will be 10 world leaders. He's speaking of seven kings. I believe he's speaking of something to do with the demonic realm. And the reason I say that is he says that, notice this one, that whatever he is, the same beast he talks about here in verse 11, which is the eighth one, which was and is and not and all that. And in verse 10, the whole thing, he speaks about this beast that was and is not and yet is, and then will ascend out of the bottomless pit and be the eighth one, to come back on the scene again. I believe this is nothing more than the demonic realm and a demon that is going to be possessing the Antichrist. Now, let me give you the picture of what I believe it is, and then we'll get back to it and we'll read it again. But first, I want you to turn back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Actually, it may be 2 Peter chapter 2, because I want you to see this yourself so you know where I'm coming from on this, and you can see it in the scripture. But go to 2 Peter chapter 2, actually, and it talks about these demons that God locked up early. I believe the scripture tells us why he locked them up early, but that's a whole different Bible study we're not going to get into. But I just want you to see that some of the demonic realm has already been locked up in what the Bible refers to as the bottomless pit, which again, in the Bible says that it's in the center of the earth, which makes sense because the earth is round and would have no bottom to it. But apparently there's a supernatural holding cell for these demons that did something so bad God locked them up. So starting in verse 4 of chapter 2, notice what it says. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell. Now, your Bible probably says hell. Mine does too. The literal word there in the Greek is Tartarus. It's the only time it's used in all of Scripture. It's some holding tank that God has cast a certain group of the demons into called Tartarus. Now, how do I know all the demons aren't there? Because the Bible says that they're still roaming the earth. We know there's the demonic realm. They're still very active. They were active in Jesus' day. He spoke to them. They answered, and they're still active today. But there was a certain group that God locked up early because they did something so bad. And notice it says, he did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to Tartarus and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Okay, you can flip back to Revelation. I wanted you to see that yourself. You can investigate that later. But the bottom line is, there's a group of the demons that did something so bad out of that third that fell. There's a portion of them that did something so bad, the Bible says God locked them up early. He says, you guys have crossed the line. You're locked up early. And it says in Revelation that that's going to be opened up, that the center of the earth, the bottomless pit, will be opened up and these demons will be released. And they'll actually come upon the earth and be used to judge mankind. That's where we talked about the scorpions. They'll have the sting of a scorpion. They come out of the bottomless pit and the smoke fills the earth and they sting men for 5 months. You may remember that if you've been with us through the whole Revelation study. These are those demons that are locked up for judgment. That is for the judgment of man, but also their own judgment. And they're going to be released in that day. So my point in showing you that is this. There are spirit beings that are free and then locked up and then re-freed. All right? But the bottom line is, I believe that's what's happening here, and why? Because the Bible says that the Antichrist is going to be assassinated. It would appear in Scripture, and scholars agree that speaking of the Antichrist, that there's going to be some type of assassination attempt against him. And it tells us, one of the prophets tells us, his right eye will be blinded and his right arm will be crippled because of it, probably shot in the head, which will affect some part of the brain and paralyze his body. And it says that the world will marvel at him. As we talked about earlier right there, they're going to be marveling at the one that was and is not and is again. Remember, Satan is going to mock everything that God does. Like God has the Holy Trinity, Satan is going to have an unholy Trinity. He's going to put himself as the Father, the Antichrist will be like the Son, and the false prophet will be like the Spirit. God has a mark on our forehead. The Bible says all of us have a mark. If you know Jesus, you have a spiritual mark on your forehead. But it can't be seen except in the spiritual realm. What is Satan going to do in the last days? The Antichrist is going to cause everyone to take a mark on their hand or their forehead. Again, mocking God. He's trying to be like God to do what God does. Well, what did Jesus Christ do? If he's going to declare himself to be the Antichrist, which remember the word anti means in place of, if he's going to be the instead of Christ, or really it means instead of literally, if he's going to be the instead of Christ, what does he need to do if he wants to fulfill the picture completely? He needs to at least appear to die and resurrect. Now, I don't think that the Antichrist can die and really resurrect. Why? Because only God has power over life. As a matter of fact, when you look at Moses, and when Moses went before Pharaoh and the 10 plagues and all that happened there in Egypt, up to a point, remember, the false prophets of Moses could imitate a lot of the things that Moses was doing. And then when God turned dust into lice, remember he turned the dust into some type of insect. Many believe it might be lice, other things. It's hard to determine what the word is there in the Hebrew, but he turned the dust literally into some type of insect that was plaguing the land. The Pharaoh called his magicians, his witchcraft guys, those that were dealing in the magical arts, and they had power from Satan to a certain degree. And they said to Pharaoh, okay, we've reached our limit. We can't do this. He's creating life. We can imitate what he's done. We can get water and even make it look like it's turning to blood, and we can do some of these kind of things, but we can't take dust and make it life. Only God has that kind of creative power. That's beyond us. So do I believe the real Antichrist dies and then resurrects? I don't believe so. And one of the positions I've always taken is it looks like it's a fake resurrection. It's like everybody thinks he's dead. He's been shot in some assassination attempt. Everybody says he's dead, and the world's mourning because this great leader has died, and suddenly he gets up. And the world says he's alive. But I think it may even be more than that because of this passage. Because it says the world will marvel at the one who was and is not and now is again. They're going to marvel. Well, what would make them marvel? Not that he recovered, but if he resurrected from the dead? Now, as I said, I don't believe he can resurrect from the dead. But here's what I think is a possibility. You do with this as you want. The Bible isn't, I can't say for sure that's what it means. So this is Mark. But I believe because it speaks of this one that was, is not, and then is again, and will be the eighth, I believe that's the future Antichrist after the resurrection. I believe what will happen is the Antichrist will be shot and really die. And then one of these demons will literally possess his body and use his body as its host, and he will stand up. And that demon will be inside of the man that was the Antichrist, maybe even Satan himself at that point, I don't know. Probably not, because it's some demon that apparently ascends out of the bottomless pit. And the world's going to literally see what they believe is a resurrection. And it's not a resurrection at all. It's simply a demon spirit going into a dead body. Remember when Moses died and God sent Michael the archangel to protect the body of Moses and Satan was disputing over the body of Moses? What would Satan want with the body of Moses? If Satan could inhabit the body of Moses and Moses get up, and walk back into the camp of the children of Israel and say, I know we've talked a lot about what God said, but I have a few changes to make. God has shown me things more clearly. I'm not saying that's what was trying to happen, okay? Understand that. But I find it very interesting in light of all this that God actually set Michael there to guard Moses' body so Satan couldn't get to him. And now we see this leader, this Antichrist, being referred to as the one who was, is not, and then is again, and the world marvels. We know that Satan wants to imitate. I believe it's very possible that we will see a demonic resurrection. And this guy's going to actually be possessed by a demon. It is interesting. He talks about the ones that were and the one that has fallen and this kind of thing, and he goes on about it. It is interesting that some believe that one of the Caesars was possessed by a demon. Some say Nero seemed possessed by a demon. Some say possibly Domitian, who Domitian was actually the Caesar at the time when John wrote this. When you read the language here, notice he says in verse 10, these are seven kings, five have fallen, that is, they're already done. One is, that is, as John's writing, and that was Domitian, Emperor Domitian. The other has not yet come, which is the one he's talking about now that'll be in the future in the last days. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. That is, he's only going to have about 3.5 years or sometime in there after this, I believe, fake resurrection. So it would appear that very possibly this very demon possessed one of the emperors in times past. God threw him back into Tartarus, and now he's released again. He was not and now is, and will repossess the Antichrist in the last days. Either way, we know that it's going to be something that's going to be wicked and evil, and it's going to make the world marvel. It says, verse 11, the beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth. And again, so you have the seven that were completed. How is this one the eighth? I believe because you see one, again, the resurrection. He's already been once in a leader. And then, of course, he dies and resurrects and maybe possibly re-inhabits the Antichrist. And he's of the seven and is going to perdition. So, again, I'm not saying that's what it is, but that's what I know of Scripture and what seems to me to be where we're going with this. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, verse 12, who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. So you're going to see these world leaders, these 10 world regions that were shown in the 10 toes of Daniel's vision. Remember in Daniel chapter 2, we see the image that Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar had, and the 10 toes. It represents these 10 kingdoms in the last days, and now he refers to them as these 10 kings. They don't have a kingdom yet, but they will receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. 1 hour. Well, you know, I don't know that it's a literal hour. Sometimes the Bible speaks of an hour as a moment of time, so we have to leave that open to that. But isn't it interesting? These guys link up with the Antichrist thinking, here's our leader. We're going to link with this guy. They're believing he's died and resurrected now and may even be inhabited by a demonic spirit, whatever the case is. But they're following this guy with reckless abandon, thinking they're going to rule forever and he's the new savior of the world. It's going to be like that and they're done. It reminds you of Hitler. Remember Hitler said when he took over, he's going to conquer the world and have 1,000-year reign. Do you remember that? Do you find it interesting that Hitler chose 1,000-year reign in light of the scripture and Jesus ruling and reigning for 1,000 years in the future? Mocking Jesus. I mean, whether he knew it or not, it's interesting. He reigned for 13 years. A little bit less than 1,000. But in his mind, I'm going to rule and reign for 1,000 years, or my kingdom will, so to speak. 13 years. So they're going to reign with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. So that's when all these 10 kingdoms will unite behind this world leader, the Antichrist. Notice these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. Of course, we know this is Jesus, no ordinary Lamb. For he's the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. That'd be us. And then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits. Now he's describing more about this woman that's riding the beast. Again, referred to as a harlot or literally whore in the language. It sounds rather graphic and harsh, but that's God's wording. But he's speaking of a spiritual harlot because this world religious system is causing the world to worship falsely rather than worship the right way with God. He says, the one that you saw on many waters are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Again, we talked about in Scripture, waters oftentimes, they have two meanings, either literal water or multitudes of peoples. And in this one, he describes what he's talking about in context. The waters you saw are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Where's the Catholic Church established around the world? Peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. They're all over the world, on every continent. over a billion people involved in that one religion with the one leader over the leading the whole group. It says, and the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot. Now remember, they're going to use her. She will ride the beast for a while. They'll use religion to get what they need to get done. Who was it said religion is the opiate of the peoples? Was that Karl Marx? I don't remember. One of those guys. And what he meant by that is if you can get everybody unified behind a religion, you can control the masses. The Antichrist is going to do that. He's going to work with this woman, this beast, this religious world system to get control of the masses. But notice this, the 10 horns, that is these nations that have allied with the beast, they're going to hate the harlot. They're going to pretend they like and are put up with religion for a little while. But then when they're done using religion for their purposes, it's time to do away with it. It says they'll make her, this is interesting, they will make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Remember that for next week. That's going to come into play and we'll go back to it. For God has put into their hearts to fulfill his purpose. They think they're in control, but they're not. The Lord's in control. To be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. That verse you can let marinate. And verse 18 will lead into chapter 18 for next week, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But suffice it to say, here's the bottom line picture of what we know, apart from anything that maybe I said that might be wrong. Here's what we know. We do know that the religious system is going to link with the Antichrist. We know that she is envisioned here as riding the beast, so she thinks she's in control, or at least working along with the beast, almost like a horse and its rider. He's allowing her to be there. When he's done with her and he's got the people, you know, the religious people now linked to him through religion, and they're supporting each other, he will turn at the 3.5-year point and destroy religion on the earth. All religious systems will have to be destroyed and bow to him and him alone. He, at that point, the Bible says, will declare himself to be God. We saw that back, I believe it was Revelation 13, and will demand that the world worship him. And if you don't worship him, you will be put to death. That's what the scripture says. So it's going to be a horrible time. We won't be here, and aren't you glad? And I truly believe that because, again, the Bible says that we've not been appointed to God's wrath, and that's going to be during the time of God's wrath. Whether or not that is the whole picture of the death and resurrection, I do believe there's going to be some type of false death and resurrection of the Antichrist, and or my theory that he will literally die and be inhabited by a demon who was and is not, and will come out of the bottomless pit, as it talks about there in that chapter, and then will inhabit the Antichrist, who will then literally be led by a demon in a human body. It's going to be wicked days, guys. I mean, listen, Hollywood couldn't write something like this. But the Lord is going to be in control of all of it, and I'm going to deal with it, and I'm just glad I know Jesus, you know? Aren't you glad you know Jesus?
The book of Revelation is a good reminder that things happening here on earth have an expiration date. There isn't an indefinite amount of time for evil to persist, if you're honest. You'd likely admit it would be nice to have a reset, a clean slate, a new world of sorts. Well, did you know that Jesus is bringing this about sometime in the future? What a thing to look forward to. Like any blockbuster, end-of-the-world movie, there's always some culmination between good and evil. But guess what? The things mentioned in Revelation will happen. They're not just some made-up plot line to make lots of money at the box office. So keep grounded in the book of Revelation as we uncover more and more of God's heart behind all that will occur. Pastor Mark will continue next time in the book of Revelation. But before we go, we'd like you to know about a way that you can join us this weekend. At Calvary Knoxville, we have several services. We meet on Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. We also have a midweek service at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings. Come join us and be part of what's going on here. Find out more at thewaymedia.net. You can also give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that phone number is 865-609-1385. Thanks for being a part of our listening audience. If you'd like to hear these messages whenever you'd like, download the Way Media app. We hope you'll continue with us next time in the book of Revelation, here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.